Gospel according to St.
Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So here's the line that's been quoted a million times. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Sometimes that verse hurts me, and sometimes it just makes me angry, because I've been in groups of two or more, and we have prayed faithful prayers, and I have held other people's hands as they have prayed with tears streaming down their face for healing or provision or some sort of peace, and I have been there during the years when those prayers are not answered. If I'm honest, this verse makes me angry for my husband, Ken. When he was alive, we prayed for healing, or at least management of his bipolar disorder. We prayed for relief from depression. We shook our fists at God and cried, "Aren't you listening?" So this week, as I read this text about how to manage conflict in the church, I just tumbled over verse 19 over and over. I wrote something about that on Facebook, how I was stuck on that verse. And a friend reminded me that we are never to take a verse out of context. Now, I know that. I really, really know that. Because if there is anything that every professor in every class of seminary, all of the 4 years I was there, said, it is, context is everything, and you may never take, yes, Catherine, you may never take a phrase or a sentence or a snippet or a word out of context. So I went back to the whole story, and the whole story today is about resolving conflicts with those who have hurt us. This portion of Matthew has been used as a model for how the church should manage conflict. You have a grievance, one against another. This is how you manage it. You go to them and you talk to them. And if that doesn't bring about reconciliation, then you bring two people that you trust and love from your community and you try it again. And if that doesn't bring about reconciliation, then you bring it to the whole church. And if that doesn't work, if there still can't be unity, then treat that person as you would a Gentile or a tax collector, who you hate, by the way. Then he says this odd thing, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And it terrifies me, because I don't want that kind of power, and I'm not even convinced I have it. The Greek word for the word loosed can mean loosen or forgive, as in we are bound by our sin, but we are loosed by God's love. So If you bind something here on earth, if you say that this member you have talked to on your own and then with some friends and then with the whole assembly is to be rejected, then they are rejected in heaven. That is too great a responsibility. If Jesus looks you in the eye and says, try to work it out with that person. Really, really try. And if it doesn't work, then take somebody with you and keep trying. And if that doesn't work, go to the whole assembly of the church, all that group of believers that you're working and serving with. Try it there. And then whatever happens, that also will happen in heaven. If Jesus says that to you, how hard are you going to work at reconciliation? If the final word is that if I reject her here on earth, she's rejected in heaven, then where is the line where I'm going to stop working at reconciliation? Then Jesus says, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So there's the context. When you are working at reconciliation with someone, use all your resources, your friends, your congregation. And when you are working on reconciliation with someone, do it like it has eternal consequences. Care about it that much. And while you are in the midst of that process, that hard work of reconciling with someone who has hurt you, remember that if together you ask God for help, God will help. God will not ever stop helping you reconcile with another person. It's God's good and full will that all of creation be reconciled. Every last thing, people and animals and rocks and streams and weather patterns, everything united and at peace. So if you are together with someone trying to be in good and healthy relationship with that person and it's not working, and the two or more of you who are gathered agree and ask for the tools of time or patience or love or forgiveness or whatever you might need to move through anger and hatred toward love and unity, it will be done for you by your Father in heaven. And the context for all of this reconciliation in the text we read today, the context for that is verse 20. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Among them. Christ is not simply the third person in the room when you are trying to reconcile with someone who has hurt you. Christ is in the person with whom you're trying to reconcile. And Christ is in you while that person is trying to reconcile with you. Christ is in the effort, in the language, in the intention for unity. Christ is in the understanding and the listening to one another. Christ is among you. So context really is everything here. But you know what? There's even more context. Because this conversation that we're having about conflict in the church, that is set within the rest of the chapter 18 of the Gospel of Matthew. And right before this instruction, Jesus says, let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of them got lost and he would not rest until that one was found. And when the one was found, that shepherd rejoiced for that unity. Jesus is making a larger point about unity here. The kingdom of God is about reconciliation and community, and it is about bringing back those who were lost, like a sheep. It's about acknowledging that we are capable of great hurt and great healing. and that we are always to insist on healing. And when we can't do it, it's not over because God will help us. And you know what comes right after this instruction that we have in today's text? Right next, Peter says, so as long as we're talking about conflict, if somebody hurts me, how many times do I have to forgive them? Seven is good, right? And Jesus says, 70 times seven. Never stop working at unity, Peter. There's no magic number for forgiveness. There's no timetable. Never stop working toward love and unity. And when you cannot be in unity with others, when you can't figure out how to be in relationship, then treat the person who has hurt you like a tax collector or a Gentile. And we know what Jesus does with tax collectors and Gentiles, don't we? He shares meals with them. He loves them when they're hard to love. He invites them into the kingdom. We are never off the hook for working toward love and unity with other people and all of creation. Even though we're sometimes lousy at it, sometimes we are bound by our sin, God insists on love. By the power of love, by the miracle of an empty grave, by this meal of mercy, by the water of our baptism and the sealing of the Spirit forever in our baptisms, by Christ's example of forgiveness on a cross when all he was receiving was hate, we are equipped for this call. But we're not equipped for this call alone. It takes at least one other person, maybe two or three, maybe the whole assembly, and it always takes Christ. Amen.